This is the Cultural Fluency Podcast with Angèle Préto, the French coach. That is me. And today in episode number 16, I am with Cara Goodwin from The Meditation Conversation. Cara, welcome.
Thank you so much, Angel. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited for this episode. Can you please introduce yourself for the people who don't know you yet?
Yes. So I am a meditation coach, a spiritual transformation specialist, host the Meditation Conversation podcast. I host retreats, and I'm really very passionate about helping people to access higher levels of consciousness that are kind of beyond our regular waking experience.
Sounds great. Can you tell us a bit more about your background and how you came to do this work in particular?
Well, I actually have a very mainstream corporate background originally. So I am a wife and mother. I have two teenagers, and I used to be in corporate IT working for big companies and doing consulting work as well. And then we moved to Italy, actually. My family and I moved to Italy many years ago, almost a decade ago. And during that time, the first couple of years, it was an amazing experience. And that's when I stopped working because I really needed to, you know, with that move, I didn't have any support network. And so I had to kind of let go of that fast-paced career, which was fine for me. But one of the years that we were living there, we had a lot of tragedy in terms of family members. So it began with the death of my sister-in-law, which was just a couple of weeks. I think about 3 weeks later, our dog passed away. And then just a few weeks after that, my stepdad had a very serious surgery on his brainstem. And shortly after that, my mother-in-law was hit by a motorbike when she was crossing the street. And then a couple of months after that, my stepmom was in the ICU. Her heart was failing and she ended up having a heart transplant. So all of that happened in a very short amount of time, and all of that while we were living out of the country. And for me, that was really, it really shook the foundation of what my reality was. You know, I was used to just everything being fine, everybody being healthy. And it was very, very, in a very quick amount of time, it was like every time I turned around, there was something new that was very, very serious.
Right.
And that was really why I began meditating. It was because I was under so much pressure emotionally that I felt that meditation would help to relieve some of that pressure. So it began for me as a very like helping me to deal with stress and helping me to kind of just get some peace and relaxation. And over time, it has become very much a spiritual tool for me. I see spirituality as just this understanding of a bigger understanding of consciousness and the life force that's flowing through everything and connecting all of us. And it took some time for me to make the leap from doing meditation in order to become less stressed to kind of enjoying more of a oneness and that there's something bigger happening here and there's a cosmic intelligence. So that was that was the catalyst for it and kind of how I have now found myself where I am and what I'm passionate about now.
Wow, that sounds amazing. There are so many questions that we could branch out into. I'm just trying to like order them in my mind because it's not exactly what I have planned. But one thing that jumps to mind is that I know so many people who say they would like to start to meditate and they just don't really know how to do it. So can you tell us either how you did it and or how you recommend to people doing it? I know you now have a meditation course, so you're the expert to speak about that, right?
Yeah, it's such a great question because I've been there where it was because even before I really needed meditation, I was curious about it. And so I would take time at the end of the day and kind of sit there and try to clear my mind. And I was very intrigued by this prospect. And I really didn't get anything out of it. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. And I really just felt that I was sitting there thinking. And it was like, well, I can sit here and think without having to carve time out of my day to meditate. You know, it didn't really feel very different than just sitting in front of the TV with my mind wandering. And
it is very different, though.
Right. It is. But the difference for me was actually finding a teacher and methods. And that really made the difference for me, because there is more to it than just sitting there, like we were just saying, but I didn't have any of those techniques. I didn't know. I mean, I kind of knew, like, take some slow breaths and things like that, but it, the game changer for me was to have step-by-step instruction, and that became my foundation. And then from there, I got more freedom over time to kind of make my meditation what I wanted. So if anybody's in the same situation or hasn't even taken the first step of ever trying meditation, some low-hanging fruit are the guided meditations. There are so many guided meditations. When I began exploring meditation, we didn't have, you know, this was like pre-iPhone, pre-apps. And so it wasn't at our fingertips, but now there's so many. I mean, I'm on Insight Timer. That's a meditation app where there are heaps of instructors. There are free meditations. You can upgrade for some paid meditations. I have guided meditations on there. The podcast that I mentioned, Meditation Conversation, I have some different guided meditations from me and other people. So people can go on themeditationconversation.com and search for guided meditations, and there will be heaps on there. There are apps, you know, Calm and Headspace and all. I don't know what the popular ones might be in Europe, but those are, you know, using guided meditations where you're helping, where somebody is helping you to take kind of that mental process out of it, where it's like, okay, what do I do now? You know, at least you can just kind of follow along, and that can be a really effective way to begin.
That sounds great. Yeah, as you said, I always promote or recommend meditation tracks, guided meditation tracks. I even made some myself. There are some on this channel. If you're watching this podcast on YouTube, same channel, there are a few guided meditation tracks. They, as you said, they are everywhere. So many people have made them. They exist for pretty much every purpose you can think of. And yet there are also meditation courses, and you created a meditation course yourself. It is on your website.
Yes.
What was the reason? What prompted you to create this course as opposed to just, you know, telling people there's meditation tracks everywhere?
Well, the reason was because I got so much out of having instruction. So as I mentioned, you know, you can do guided meditation. I would say that that's kind of to get your toe into it.
Right.
But if you really want to establish your own meditation practice, it can be really helpful to know how to sit, what you're doing, what are we doing with the breath? Why are we doing? It's really to give more foundation in terms of, here's what your posture should be like. Here's some different ways that you can sit. Here are different times of day that it's, you know, more conducive to getting into a meditative state. Here are some different, here's why the breath is so important and what you can do with the breath, some different ways that you can change out, because ultimately it is helpful to be able to meditate on your own where you're not relying. I mean, that's, again, like, guided meditations are great for starting, but ideally you can get yourself into a place where you can be taking a walk and see a bench and not have your phone on you or anything and be like, I'm going to go sit on that bench here in nature and just spend 10 minutes meditating and not feel like, I don't know how to do that because I don't have my phone with me. You know, ultimately we want to have that liberation and that self kind of motivation to be able to have it, everything that we need within us to have our own practice. So it's kind of like, here's some breath work, that different types of breath that you can try during your meditations, and different things might feel appropriate on different days, or, you know, it worked for you last week, may not be what you need this week. So it's good to have some variety in there. And then there are things that it's just helpful to consider intellectually in terms of your meditation. So like the role of the heart, for example, you can meditate on your heart without understanding the role of the heart, but it can add another dimension, another layer to your desire to connect with your heart if you understand the importance of the heart.
Right.
Likewise, the brain is doing a lot of interesting changes when you adopt a meditation practice. So it's, you know, it, that's going to happen whether you understand what it is, what is happening or not, but it can really add a lot to your meditation if you do have that intellectual understanding of what's happening with your brain. So it just tries to marry the, here's what you can do to develop your own practice and the, so what, you know, well, why, right. Why do I breathe that way? Why is the breath important? Why, what is happening with the brain? What's happening with the heart? What is consciousness? You know, all of that. So it's just to address all of that.
Right. So there's a lot more foundation in the course than just go and play a track. So ultimately, yeah. Even if you're alone without your phone, I don't know if this still happens to people, but if it yeah. does, then
theoretically,
you can go and meditate. It should, right? Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can totally relate to that. I've been at a point where I learned to meditate without the track, and then you have a lot more freedom with what you can do with it once you don't yeah. need the track anymore. So it's definitely, that resonates. So many things you said. Again, I should be taking notes to not lose the questions I want to ask you. One thing you mentioned, that times of days are causing differences. I think it's the first time I'm hearing that, despite being into meditation for 10 years maybe now. So can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah, so the ancient yogis talk about the different times of day that are most conducive. So based on what the energy of the planet and the energy of the time of day is bringing, that is more conducive. And there are also physiological and chemical things happening within the body that help to support it. But there are four times of day that are the most conducive to going to kind of stilling your mind and being able to more easily go into meditation. It doesn't mean that if you can't hit these four times, then don't bother. Mm-hmm. Because really, you know, for me, I have to do it when I can. You know, it's like, when am I not going to be disturbed? And they may or right. may not align with these times. But dawn, so like the break of day, mm-hmm. Noon, so the highest point that the sun is at of the day, dusk, when the sun has gone down, and right. then midnight. So right. these are like, from a planetary perspective, they're when the energies of the planet are most conducive. And then there are
to
things
be clear,
like,
these are points of alignments of the planet. It's not when you raise, when you have your lunch, and when you go to bed. It's really when the planets are on the
precisely.
Ascendant, on the midheaven, on the descendant, and Imam Kweli, I forgot the name in English, but it's really the position of where the sun is located with relation to the earth.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And so there are planetary energies, there are light levels that are conducive. So all of these kind of like layered and more esoteric things that as energy beings, we resonate with without realizing it. But there are also practical things. So for example, like first thing in the morning, if it's the first thing you're doing, like at daybreak, as the sun is coming up, then likely you haven't really started your day. You know, you're fresher. You haven't had time for whatever was bothering you at the end of the day yesterday. You've kind of had some time for that to clear out while you've been sleeping, so that you are, you know, if you've just woken up, you're kind of just fresh. The day is right. sort of in front of you and it's new. And you haven't maybe started engaging with the blue screen of your phone, of your tablet, your computer, the TV. You haven't had that interference also. So not only that blue light that comes from our devices that affects us chemically, of course, the yogis didn't take that into account hundreds of thousands right. of years ago, but for modern living, being able to do that before you've interacted with the blue screens of our devices. And also the information that we get, that we engage with before. So if we haven't had time to look at the news, look at our email, look at our texts, look at our social media, all of those things that start to reshape us into who we were yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like these things that come together to be like, okay, let's reconstruct who you are as a being based on what you do every day and the information that you're getting from the outside world. So rather than doing that, you sit and meditate. And if you haven't eaten yet, you also are not using your energy for digestion of your breakfast. So that also is a pure energy that's not, if you think of your energy just as an intelligence within your body, that intelligence knows what to do with different things. So if you've eaten, it's you've got intelligence and energy that's going into your digestion that is unavailable for you to utilize in your morning meditation. So there, I love trying to encourage people and myself to do meditation first thing in the morning for all of those reasons and more. I mean, another really practical thing is like, if you make it a priority and you do it before you have a chance to get distracted and before you have a chance to make excuses, then, you know, that's one thing ticked off that you don't have to then carve out as your day gets busier and you get more and more distracted. And it's like, no, okay, well, I can't do it right now. I'll do it in an hour. You know, it's like, if you've already done it, that's a big win. It's such an amazing way to start your day.
Right. So for all these reasons, even if you don't wake up at the break of dawn, you should still do your meditation when you wake up first thing.
Right.
Right. Do you also recommend the other times? So the maybe lunchtime or midday and night?
I do. I mean, I recommend them out of trust for the, you know, the great masters who've come before who have, you know, who have said that those are wonderful times for a living being to be in stillness. For myself,
I would mean more like independently of that, because I know that for the average Westerners, it's very hard to have your day aligned with exactly those times, right? You can't go to your boss and be like, boss, by the way, I need my lunch break exactly when the sun hits that point. And yes, it's going to be a different time every day, but they're going to look at you weird, right?
Right. And so for me personally, that's been kind of the sticking point for me to explore those other times. For me, it's really more of a morning. And then sometimes I'll do it in the evening as well to have two meditations. I teach as well. So there are times, plenty of times where, you know, I'll do my first thing in the morning. And then my second one is just when my class is, which could be, you know, at 11 in the after or in the morning or 7 at night or whatever. So it's really, for me, the easiest and the most fruitful time is right away in the morning. But for some people, that's not practical. They may have a newborn and it's like my newborn's getting me up and I'm not going to be able to meditate at that time. So really the important thing is just kind of taking that higher level look at your life and the routine and the habits that you have and seeing how you can make meditation a habit. Like, how is this going to fit in with your life? And if that's going to be 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because that's a lull for your work schedule, or that's right before the kids come home, or, you know, it's some transitional point where that is the most useful time, then that's the right time for you. I think that making the habit, making the intentionality of fitting it into your day is much more important in modern times than trying to line it up with the sunlight or whatever.
Right. That makes absolute complete sense. You just mentioned when you have your class, do you have a class every day? That's a class that you teach, right?
Yeah. I don't have them every day. So I have like a membership program that's online and anybody can join that. Right. And we meet regularly. So we meet once or twice a week. We meditate for it. Sometimes it's more like a 30-minute meditation with a topic that we may talk about sound or consciousness or the best times of day to meditate. We, you know, anything that's really relevant to the moment. Or we do, and we also do some shorter ones that will just hit like a 10-minute meditation. So that's with a group, and that's all virtual and online. And then I actually just finished teaching for the teachers of my school district where I live. They have a wellness center, so I teach them just with a regular in-person course. And I've taught in yoga studios over the years and things like that as well. And a lot of that changed with COVID.
Right.
We had a lot of them shut down, unfortunately, and things like that. But yeah, I do live things, but a lot of the things that I do are online.
That makes sense. I mean, at this stage, everything I do is online, and I find that it just works better this way.
Yeah.
For you, would you say that when you teach a class that actually counts as your meditation, or do you also have to meditate outside of the class? Because it's two very different energies, right?
It is. It is. And when I began teaching, when I first started teaching, I really was I was taught, you know, don't have your meditation that you're teaching be the meditation that you do. And so usually it's not my meditation for the day. But what I have found as I've matured as a meditation teacher is that we are all entering this kind of unified space. And when I bring myself into a meditative state, I contribute to that and help to carry people up in their frequency. Because it is, when we think of things in terms of frequency and vibration, the dominant vibration is the highest one, and the lower ones will lift to join the higher vibration. And so if I'm too in my head of like being the teacher and trying not, you know, and intentionally holding myself back to stay in teacher mode, then I'm not entering that field. I'm doing it more mentally and intellectually and trying to do it from a place that is actually less helpful for the people who are joining. So I do prefer now, and for the last several years, to enter that meditative state with them. And then kind of we all amplify each other in that way.
Right. Okay, I think that's a great jumping off point for the next question I have, which on your website, I found the idea of expanding into the person you are to become, or fulfilling your purpose, you know, that kind of idea, right? Mm-hmm. And can you speak a little bit about that? Do you believe that everyone has a purpose? And if so, how come so many people haven't found it? How do you find it? Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Really, the foundation of that, in my experience and belief, is our ability to understand ourselves beyond the physical, beyond being temporary human beings with a temporary physical body and a temporary personality. So there is this intelligence, there is this animation, there is an energy that we are, that is animating these bodies, and this is one of the things that I love with meditation, is just closing our eyes and feeling into, like, recognizing that we have a body, but the fact that we can recognize that we are a body, that we have a body, it's like, who is that recognition? Where is that coming from? That ability to recognize, like, if we notice that we have a body, in that noticing, we notice we are not the body. There's something more going on than the body. And the same thing with the thoughts, where we can be engaged in thoughts, but we can also step outside and witness ourselves having thoughts. And so it's like, well, if I can notice that I'm having thoughts, then I'm not the thinking mind. There's something else there that's noticing, that is doing the thinking. So what is it that's doing the thinking? The same with the emotions. You know, we talk about, like, I am sad, I am angry, I am hopeless or whatever, but that's not even true. We are not those things. We feel those things. So that ability to step back and say, okay, we have the physical, we have the emotional, we have the mental, and yet we have this witness that is capable of stepping outside of all of that and to notice all of those things happening. And so who is that? And so it's that connection and that recognition and that connection, that deeper and deeper connection with that witness, for, you know, or however you want to think of it, but that animating force that is running through us. And I believe very strongly that the core of a lot of the isolation and the depression and the lack of purpose that people feel is to do with the with not recognizing that we are more than this physical experience. We are more than what we can experience with our five senses. There is more happening. And that is the first step of coming into our purpose, because our purpose doesn't need to be, a lot of times we confuse our purpose with how we make money. And they're two different things. You know, it's not that the only people who are really living their purpose are the people who are making money by doing something that they really feel passionate about. You know, that's not necessarily true. So you can have somebody who has a job that they're just doing to pay the bills, and that's how they spend some of their hours, but they have this deeper recognition of their gifts, and they are utilizing those gifts. So maybe, you know, maybe they're a great connector of people, you know, and they really can, they're great at networking, bringing people together, finding people who need to be in each other's lives. And that's just something that they very naturally do, but that's part of their greater purpose. And it brings them joy and it brings others joy. There are other people who may be very connected to the ecosystem and they're not making money by, you know, leading some great organization who's doing wonderful environmental efforts, but they're doing, like, they're very passionate about how can I live my life in the most alignment with my ecological environment, and how can I share what I learn with the people that I love and help to influence them to also think about the environment. And so it's, again, it's not their career. And that doesn't mean that they haven't found their purpose, but they are still living their purpose with what they're doing with their time and their energy, their thoughts, and their intention.
Right. So yeah, that sounds awesome. That's a great way of explaining purpose. I don't think I've ever heard someone explaining it in this way before. So thank you so much for that. If someone has no idea whatsoever what their purpose is, can you give some steps that they can take in order to find out?
I think that it's a very human, modern living, like, desire to be like, here are, and, you know, I run across this a lot in terms of ways to help your business type of thing, you know, like, make it easy, make there be like 10 steps or 5 steps and let it be a quick thing. And it's nice when we do run across things like that. But I think something as big as like our life purpose is one of those things that it requires patience and diligence and intentionality. And for me, and it requires that connection with that witness, or however we want to think of it, that eternal and more etheric aspect of who we are. And to build that connection and strengthen it, meditation is an amazing tool. And so it's not necessarily doing specific meditations that will help you connect specifically with your purpose. It's one of those things of like, use meditation to help nurture that connection and strengthen that connection with that eternal aspect of yourself. That in and of itself helps to strengthen your intuition. For example, it strengthens your ability to be able to understand this is the right next step and this is not the right next step, because we learn to recognize the signs, that our body is telling us. Our body gives us signals, yeses and nos, to say like, okay, that seems like the right thing for me to do. Nope, that doesn't feel right. But it can take time. And likewise, we start to recognize that the external world is communicating with us as well. So a lot of times we think of this in terms of coincidence. Things that we might say are a coincidence are ways that we are being communicated to by the intelligence of the universe. So maybe we are considering a job change or moving to another location. I have an example of a type of treatment that I was looking into for a family member. And for this specific treatment, I had to go take an airplane, and it was, you know, it was an investment of money. And so I was trying to consider, is this the right thing for us? And the specific location for this treatment was in Colorado, and I'm in Indiana, which is two time zones away. Okay. And when I was considering whether I wanted to take that step or not, if it was the right step, everywhere I turned, everybody was talking about Colorado all of the sudden. Oh, wow. It was on the radio. It was on TV. It was on like friends, I would pass by people and hear them either say Colorado or a city within Colorado. I couldn't believe how much I was hearing about Colorado. And so for me, it's like that wasn't necessarily even going into meditation and saying, okay, tell me yes or no, Colorado or no Colorado. It was like, let me just be patient and tune in, and then recognizing, wow, I'm getting a lot of Colorado right now. So is that maybe potentially the universe communicating to me through my life, through my reality? Maybe, you know?
Yeah. So the first step is always to meditate more and strengthen your intuition. And then it just sort of starts happening.
Right. It's like a snowball going downhill, you know?
What you seem to be saying is also that there isn't so much of a clear cut between when you're in meditation and when you're not. It sounds like your entire life eventually is a meditation.
I love that. I think that that is accurate to an extent, but I also do make a point every day to meditate intentionally, or usually twice a day, where I do set aside that time. So even though I'm still like, I feel like I can still be in the flow of connecting with, you know, that witness self, I feel that it can be a very slippery slope to feel like we've achieved a level where we no longer need meditation.
Oh yeah, that's not at all what I meant.
I know, but I do see that. I see that temptation even within myself, you know, and I'm like, no, I think that the reason that I can be in that flow is because I continue to prioritize my own meditation practice to keep that strong, because, you know, we're so dynamic as people. We're constantly changing if we allow ourselves to. So it can be one of those things like, yeah, maybe if you skip meditation for a day, you won't really notice any difference. Maybe you skip it for a couple of days, you don't notice. But then if you just like fall out of the habit, it can be subtle, where it just happens over time. You start to become like less and less connected. But you know, that's kind of where the risk is, where it's not this big drop off where it's like, oh, now it's really obvious. But it's like, oh, is my ego, my temporary self running the show a lot more than what I want, you know, from a keeping that perspective of something bigger.
Right. So I'm assuming it's also what you're teaching your students to do in your class, also in your community. Can you tell me a bit who your students are? What kind of persons work with you?
Yeah, I have, as I mentioned, the class that I just taught, these are staff members at the school district. So a lot of teachers. And then I have all kinds in my community. I tend to have, I wouldn't say older, but I don't have a lot of young students. So I don't have a lot of like, Like I personally am 45.
Right.
I would say I've got, you know, kind of 40s and older type of age, but I would welcome younger. I do have one, I guess one kind of college age, right. But, so, but all walks of life, you know, retired, working. This is one of the things like with my community where I've been very hesitant to have like one set time where we meet all the time. I'm always like picking different times because I have so many different people who have different schedules and different, you know, whether they're retired and they really prefer to have something in the middle of the day. But then I've got people who are working and they're like, I absolutely cannot get off my job site by then. So we, you know, we have more in the evening and things. So a really nice variety.
Sounds good. And so you have how many classes per week?
One to two that we have for in the membership.
Okay. Sounds great. Where can we find you? Where can people
find you? I have a website. Yeah, my website is caragoodwin.com. I spell Cara with a K, or my parents spell it with a K, I guess I should say. I'm on Instagram, Cara_Goodwin_meditation. I am on Facebook. I'm not hugely active there, but I'm Cara Goodwin Meditation. I tend to post things on there, but I'm not as plugged in with that. And then like we talked about my podcast, which you're going to be on soon.
Yes.
Meditation Conversation.
Perfect. So we'll continue the conversation on your podcast. In the meantime, we'll put all those links in the description or in the show notes so people can go visit your website. Do you have one word of the end or message to leave people with today?
Yeah, I would just encourage people to explore the possibility that you are more than your body and your mind, and that there is so much more happening beyond our five senses.
All right. Explore the possibility. That's a great call to action. So Cara, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Angel. This has been so much fun. I really appreciate you having me.
That was an amazing episode. And thank you so much to you who have listened to this episode until the end. Please leave a review or a comment, as that will help others find the podcast and help us get more amazing guests like Cara. And I will see you in the next one.